coming to you live from Central Texas. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson. All right. Good afternoon and happy Tuesday to you. It's Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and we are here to have us some fun today, y'all. This train is getting ready to leave the station, and I hope you're ready to go for the ride. Because y'all know what? It's going to be a ride today. You can count on it. Now, if you want to get on this train and catch a ride, just dial in at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or you can join me in my chat room, and we can have a conversation there as well. So we are really going to got a good conversation for you today. And, you know, I don't know what's going on. We ain't even got no rain today and still having problems with this old crazy computer. But it's okay. We're going to get our show going anyway. So I hope you all ready for that. Let's see. Today's topic is, what or who are the Black Elite? And, you know, when I say Black Elite, y'all, I mean, you know, in America, okay? Now, I'm just going to say that. I mean in America. Just so you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in America. I'm sure there's Black Elite elsewhere, too, but that's what we're talking about right now, okay? Woo, boy, it's one of those days already. I don't know why I'm having so much issues. I don't know. But it's not going to hinder the show today. Now, when we talk about the Black Elite, that's a word that, you know, I've been hearing a whole lot of lately. The Black Elite. And when you think about that, you think about people who supposedly are better than you're supposed to be. The people that are supposed to have, I guess, more money than you do. But is that really what being elite and black means? I don't know, y'all. But we're going to talk about it today, that's for sure. Because, you know, while I was doing my research, it's a whole lot of things came up that just was surprising. And when I say surprising, I mean things that were really surprising as far as what the Black Elite meant and who qualifies as Black Elite. You know, and the different strategies or the different, how can I say, outlooks that they have. So, you know what? That's what we're going to talk about today, the Black Elite. Now, in talking about the Black Elite, what I have also discovered is there's a lot of different aspects to what is considered the Black Elite. That's right. There is a whole lot. So, you know, and you sit back and you just wonder, you know, these are things that the majority of us never really think about. You know, because we go about our everyday life, you know, doing our little menial jobs, you know, taking care of our families, things of that nature. So, you know, to hear about another group of African blacks that goes, we are the Black Elite. You know, it really makes you wonder as to what are they talking about? Who are they talking about? Well, you know what? We got something for you. We got something for you today. Now, let's go on and get this conversation going, okay? Now, once again, I said, if you want to join in the conversation, you know a little bit about these Black Elites or you know, anything close to the subject, just go on and give us a call. Once again, it's area code 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or hit me up in the chat room, okay? We can have our conversation there as well. Now, so, first thing, let's get some history on how the Black Elite came about and what was their initial purpose for forming the Black Elite, the group, I guess you can say. Yeah, you know, because not only have we, a lot of us haven't heard about it, a lot of us don't even, you know, have no idea about where they came from, how they started. You know, and you remember the old movie, The Inkwell? No, I don't know how many of y'all remember that movie. But, you know, you need to go and check out The Inkwell, because believe it or not, The Inkwell, you know, is a place off Martha's Vineyard. You know where the president go and all these other people go? Yeah, off Oak Bluffs. No, it's a little integrated village on an island on Martha's Vineyard. And, you know, it's called the Black Hamptons, you know, so that's where all the affluent black individuals, people go, you know, and they have a part of that that's called the Inkwell. So if you remember the movie The Inkwell, you know, it was funny in parts, but that's actually a true place. And you remember one of the families was kind of well-to-do, I guess you can say, a lot of them out there. So, yeah, that place actually exists, and that's where a lot of the black elite go for peace, to be around their own, you know, to be around their own. So it's really amazing. You know, while you're watching a movie, though, you never figured out if you didn't know anything about them. Like myself, I didn't know anything about it until I started doing my research today. You know, so that really made me go, okay, all right, I really do need to check into this a little bit more. You know what I mean? Now, like I say, let's talk about what the black elite in the South of the United States started forming before the American Civil War. Okay, among free blacks who managed to acquire property. So even back then, blacks were acquiring property. They was beginning to own things. Now, listen to what we're saying now. Before the American Civil War, free blacks who managed to acquire property. Okay, so it's not like they were just slaves just waiting. They were actually acquiring property. They were beginning to own property. Huh? You hear that now, right? And other free people of color in North Carolina in the census from 1790 to 1810, 80% can be traced to African Americans free in Virginia during the colonial period. Now, yeah, this is a little history lesson, so hang in there with me, all right? Before we get really on this train, get to really rolling. It's just leaving the station right now, all right? Now, the free blacks, they migrated from Virginia to other states, as did their neighbors. Now, after going into the colonial court records, wills, deeds, and it showed that most of those free families came from relationships or marriages between, check this out now, y'all ready? Check this out. That most of those free families came from relationships or marriages between white women, servant or free, and black men. Now, you hear what I'm saying now? You hear what I'm saying? So, you know, even though today we think the biracial marriage is something new, but no, it's nothing new. It's nothing new at all. It's nothing new. It's not nothing new at all. You know why? Because it says right here. So that was the start of where the black elite started coming from, y'all. Such relationships were a part of the more fluid relationships among the working class before the boundaries of slavery hardened. So this was before, you know, slavery really got up and running. Huh? So black men and white women, they were still getting married. They were still getting married. So there was already a mixture. There was always already a mixture. You know, are y'all following me yet? There was already a mixture going on. Already a mixture going on. So now the question is, how did that end up being helping becoming the elite? Huh? How did that happen? Well, we finna find out some more. Now, once I say, if you're in the chat room, go on and chat it up with me a little bit. You know, I mean, I'm having a little trouble with mine right now, but it's okay. I can see you. So if you put a comment out there, I will respond to it, okay? My chat room seems to be acting a little haywire. But anyway, let's get back to what we was talking about. All right? Now, during the 19th century, y'all, the 19th century, there were additional relationships between whites and blacks. Huh? Now, they wasn't always where everybody agreed. You know what I mean? It wasn't where everybody always agreed. You know, so they weren't all consensual. Okay? They weren't all consensual. Let's go on and put that out there. Okay? Now, of course, we know the white slaveholders could take advantage of a slave woman, you know, because they were the slaveholders. Or as they used to say back then, they were the slave masters. Yeah. So, of course, we already know as from our history that that was something that happened. Okay? That was something that happened. Okay, but there were also slaveholders who had carrying relationships, common law marriages, and real marriages with black slave women. Uh-oh. Y'all heard that again? Huh? Y'all heard that again? So, I mean, this is a history lesson going on now. So I want y'all to hang in there with me. Woo, Lord. This is about to get deep up in here. I already feel it. Okay? Now, and even because they had these caring relationships, sometimes they actually freed the women and the children from who they had had relationships with. That's right. No, and that's what it said. That's right. And to the point, even some slaveholders did provide, you know, actually provided for their mixed race children by making sure they got some kind of education. You know what I mean? It may have been something simple like being an apprentice, you know, to a trade or a craft, but they actually made sure they got some education. You know, and once that whatever property that the father passed on to the child was important in helping that person get a start in life. So now, you as you can see, there was a mixture of the races, number one. Number two, you know, there were some relationships that were actually consensual between the races, blacks and whites. Okay. And in some instances, the educator would just, if they just became a simple apprentice. You know, or learned a craft or a trade. Oh, yeah, we're going to get into something there. All right. And then to go a little bit further, there was times when the white slave master, you know, actually gave a little property away to help that so-called child get a start in life. Wow. Now, here's the catch to that, y'all. Now, the majority has happened. It wasn't for the dark-skinned individuals now, okay? The mulattoes, okay? Mulattoes. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means for those who don't know. That's an offensive term for somebody who has one black and one white parent. You know, and these individuals pattern their lives after the polite white society, okay? You heard me? You heard me now? So they was acting as the people they were hanging around. They would taught them the proper white society. Okay, now yes, we still talking about the black elite now. Get with me here. You know, just a little background on what, you know, how they got to where they are. Okay, now check this out. Now, because they had a head start in getting property, okay, in the South now, we're talking about in the South, because, you know, usually we heard some bad things about the South, and some of us that grew up in the South, we knew about the bad things that went on down there, right? That's because of where we were on the social ladder. Let's go to put it out there. Now, because the black elite had already had a head start in acquired property in the South. You know, they began to exercise a little leadership. You know, they got the little leadership roles within the church. This is what I'm saying now. The leadership roles within the church, the black schools, the community altogether. You know, of course, you know, there were the natural leaders, you know, that came from everywhere. But in the South, you know, as you, you know, just plain simple, they got the property. You got property, you owning something, right? You owning it. So everybody else going to look up to you anyway because you got something they don't have. So why not become a leader in the church? Start a church. No, start a black school. You know, become something popular in the community. You know what I'm saying? You know, they started things like catering services, you know, and other skilled employment. And you know why? Because they had the white contacts. Listen to what I'm saying, y'all. They had the white contacts needed to remain within the status quo. You know, and the black elite also, they enjoyed the benefits of living within the white neighborhoods, which further isolated them from the darker skinned Negro. Now, y'all know what they did. Y'all heard that word, right? Further isolated them from the darker skinned Negro, which caused them to blame them for the downward shifts in lifestyle choices. Huh? You know, the black elite felt that by emulating the white man, could social standing and class be achieved? In other words, if they acted like the white folk and did like the white folk, then they would move up. Now, I'm just saying, hey, it's out there for you to find out. If you don't believe me, it's out there for you to find out. You know, and it's funny because going through this right now, you know, the term comes to my mind, what us lower class individuals, you say, well, that's an Uncle Tom. That's a so-and-so. But see, it started earlier because they were acquiring property. Listen to that word, property, acquiring. That means they had things. They were getting stuff. So automatically, that put them on a higher level than the average Joe. I'm just telling you what's out there. Now, everyone, like I say, if you don't believe me, that's no problem. We can, you know, you can go and check it out for yourself. But this is how the black elite got started. Yes, this is how the black elite got started. There were marriages between black and white men. I mean, black and white women. Oh, Lord. There probably was some between black and white men, but they're not going to say that out loud. But anyway, you know, and the slave masters and the women and some of these slaveholders, as they call them, actually took care of the kids and the women. So, you know, educated them, gave them property. So automatically, they're elevating them above what the average slave was going to be. And then came the overall feeling that if they emulated the white man, you know, if they did what they saw him do, then, of course, you can climb the social ladder because you're acting that social way. You know, how many of y'all remember that movie, School Days, by Spike Lee? You remember that movie? Huh? You know, that once again, that was another example of the kind of things that were going on. You know, you remember you had the dark-skinned girls against the light-skinned girls, the nappy hair against the slick hair or fine hair. I remember all that. That's exactly what was going on. You know, as the black race began to separate, that is exactly what was going on right there. You know, in order to be a part of the black elite, you know, you had to have certain characteristics. Yeah, you had to look a certain way. Now, you just weren't going to show up looking all scruffy and mad and think you was going to join be a part of this. Okay. Ooh. Now, Now, we're going to move a little further on now. Now, the civil rights movement came along and affirmative action. But once that came along, that kind of changed a little bit things for the black elite. Okay, as far as the old black elite, because, you know, during this time, the old black elite was beginning to die away. Okay, now, here we go. Now, when when the new, the ancestors and, I mean, the children of the old elite, we got the new elite now. And with the new elite, they are educated, entrepreneurs, actors, singers, and, you know, people who compromise the top 9% of the elite status. So they are up there. Uh-oh. Did I see what I think I saw? Oh, my goodness. Here it comes. All right. I got my caller. Here we go. Well, good afternoon. You're listening to Let's Talk. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, what's up, brother? This is Lamar. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Lamar. What's going on, man?
Hey, I just want to kind of chime in and everything. You know, I live here in Brooklyn, and, you know, I
Well, go ahead. Uh-huh.
Huh? I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I hear you.
Oh no, okay. No, in Brooklyn and everything, and, you know, the leadership in this country for the black people is just, it's ineffectual, indecisive, and it's indiscriminate, too, because, first of all, black leadership, or whatever they want to call themselves, or black people in general, we got to realize, man, we got to have our own little space, you know, we got to have our own little country within this country, you know, because the white man has been pushing all this backpedalish stuff on us for so long, and the white man's been causing this to us for too long, so we gotta break away, brother.
Hey, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, that is a good point.
Oh, yeah,
but,
I mean,
But what do you think of?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But what do you think about this black elite, this so-called black elite society that's kind of secretive, that not many people know about?
You know what? They're not good for the black community. They just like to live in their own little world. You know, little section off from the rest of from the rest of the black community. You know, as the black community is falling in shambles in different places of this country, they just live all, you know, nice in their little homes, and, you know, just they don't even think we exist anymore. So I feel like they have their pockets in the white, you know, with the white man. You know, oh man, the white man is just the devil. I'm a Louis Farrakhan fan. You know, he's a good man. You like Louis Farrakhan?
I like some of the things he says. I'm not gonna say I'm with him all the way, but a lot of things I'm with him on.
Yeah, some people think he's a little crazy and everything, but I do want to make a point though. Like the Nation of Islam, because I'm a Muslim as well. They wrote a book, actually a few books. It's called Secret Relationship Between the Blacks and the Jews. And let me tell you, brother, those Jews. Oh, you know, a lot of people think that the white man is the devil. I think, of course, they are the devil, but the big devil's the Jews. Those Jews, man, they control everything, the banking, the financing, everything, man. They're some devil mofos.
Well, okay. So let me ask you this question then. If they control it, why do they control everything?
Well, they control everything because they know how to work with money. They've been traders for 4, 5, 6,000 years of their history. They just know how to manipulate, and, you know, they don't produce anything, man. You know, our ancestors were backbreaking slaves working for the plantations, making, you know, raising up cotton and all kinds of other food. Man, these Jews, man, they raise up is just paper, man. They just throw around paper and everything, and they sold out people into slavery too. It's all in there, man. You gotta read Nation of Islam, Secret History, Secret Relationship of the Jews and the Blacks. It's kind of, I kind of forgot the title, but it's a good book.
You know what? And you hit it right on the head. Is just not read that book. Just read books, period, on our history. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, like I was mentioning before at the start of the show, you know, this train getting ready to ride. And you know, I really wasn't aware of the black elite, so-called black elite. So I had to really do a dig a little bit to find out what was going on. But as I went ahead and you know, got into it a little bit deeper, I was really surprised at some of the things that I did find.
Oh, there's some crazy ass things, man. And I bet you anything that they got their hands in the pockets of the Jews, you know? Man, those Jews, man, they're evil. You know what? And this whole industry behind the Holocaust, man, they're just making money off that. Man, they make money off their own and everything. Such devilish rifles or whatever they think they are, you know? Man, those people are evil.
They're evil? But, but they're evil, but see, and here's the catch to it, though. We saying they're evil, but they have their own.
Of course they have their own, but they're screwing us for 200 years.
Yeah, for 200 to 300 years. So when are we gonna get our own? You know, we have the black elite, but they are the well to do. Okay, so they own their property and things too. But what about the rest of us? We can't keep going keep saying that they the devil. And I mean, I understand your point, but my point is, how are we gonna keep blaming them if we're not trying to do anything for ourselves?
Yeah, man, I understand, man. Man, we gotta do things for ourselves. You know, we gotta, you know, make a little, you know, black communities again. You know, we got to get away from all that devilish shit that's been, like, you know, thrown on us, crack cocaine, all that evil shit, rap music, man. I'm not a big fan of rap music. I think it denigrates the black man. I think the black man is better than what, you know, hip-hop and all that crap, you know, tries to throw at us. You know, I feel that's just like a conspiracy, man. That's just a conspiracy for the white man to, you know, control black man. And, we better than that. You know, we got to look to our leaders, man. W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, all them, man. Those are our leaders right there. Those are, I mean, our role models. They're dead now. But you know what I'm saying, brother.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And you know, here's the thing. You say W.E.B. Du Bois. Hey, you know, they were kind of part of the black elite as well back in their day, because he actually wrote a article or a book on it, the black elite, back in the day.
I never read that. What's that all about?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, he's just saying, you know, what it stood for, how did they get started, you know, and he has some very interesting points in it. You know, hold on, if I can find it real fast, I'll go ahead and put it up in my chat room. You know, the link, you can go and check it out. I mean, because it was some real interesting reading, you know.
Oh, for sure, man.
But, you know, back to what I was saying, you know, the black elite, as I was reading earlier, was saying earlier, you know, it started back, it didn't just start, you know, it started back before the Civil War. You know what I mean? Where they were acquiring property. They were giving property and acquiring property. So already they had a hand up on everybody else because they already had theirs. You know,
yeah, and they're not being altruistic or anything, man. They have no sense of altruism, and then just, you know, just kind of leave the rest of us, you know, like in the dark and everything. There's actually cases, brother, where like our own people enslaved our own people on American soil. Did you know about that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Man, that,
okay.
That's crazy shit, man.
Well, that's part of what it is. When like you said, when a culture is not educated or don't know what's going on, then somebody's got to, because look, it's like this. There's always a natural order of things. You know what I mean? Even
right.
in nature, there's always, you know, the alpha male, the alpha female, and then the servants. So if you're not up there trying to be the alpha, or you're not, you know, you're not the alpha, then you part of the whatever happens afterwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see your point. You know, the thing is, man, it's up to every black man to look at themselves in the mirror, and black women too, and realize, you know, we got to be that alpha, you know, in our own lives. We can't, you know, we can't just be relying on everybody else. You know, nobody's going to pick up your shoes for you. Nobody's going to pick up your, you know, put you on your feet or anything. You got to do it yourself, you know. You just can't, you know, you can't run around asking for a handout. I'm sorry, but there's a lot of blacks out there that are trying to do that kind of shit. I'm just like, you know what? You got to be productive. You got to be educated. You got to be out there. You just got to hustle. Not hustle like, you know, what people think they're hustling, but you know what I mean. You got to go out there and you got to, You got to get your own. You got to do, and then be altruistic too, you know, help another black man, help this, help that, you know. And, you know, I say the white man, yeah, well, you know what, man, maybe I'm just being a little rational sometimes. I'll tell you what, man, if we could just have our own little piece, you know, little piece of the pie, you know, maybe somewhere like Mississippi, Alabama, you know, I think what we're naturally conducive for, I think that would just be a better place for, you know, the black man to be.
Well, I mean, we, you know, as a culture, we should all want, you know, we should all be striving to help each other. But in the same token, you know how in some instances that's not what we do. I mean, let's be honest, it's not what we do. So, you know, and then once that happens, it's like, okay, then we trying to knock each other down. Like I said in my chat room, you know, the Jews, it's simple. They have because they do everything to get what they need to do. And then they keep it within each other. See what I'm saying?
Of course. But the problem is, man, since it's such a small minority in every country they've been in, man, they'll leech off the host population. They're like parasites, brother. They'll use the powers of interest and banking. You know, it's really all the leaders that allow that kind of thing to happen and everything. And, you know, I read a little bit about European history and, you know, the white man, oh, man, they're crazy sons of bitches. But, man, those Jews, though, holy shit. Oh, man, they did some crazy things to the white man back then as well. Same for us black people, too, you know. Those Jews, man, oh, my God. Man, I mean, I'll probably get arrested right now for saying that kind of thing because they're probably listening on to us right now, brother. Man, crazy ass people.
Well, you know what? We not gonna worry about that, okay? We not gonna worry about that, but because we have to educate our people and let them know. It's just that simple. We just have to let them know. But in the same token, our people, like you said, we have to stop sitting there and complaining about everything, you know. And that's the thing about the elite. You know, they're not complaining. They went out and started societies like fraternities. You know, they had the gumption or the foresight, you know, to send their kids to black colleges at the time, like Howard, Fisk, Morehouse. You see what I'm saying? They didn't wait. They went out and basically took the bull by the horn and did what they needed to do.
So why
can't the rest of us do that?
Exactly, brother. I mean, exactly. Get educated, you know, buy black. You know, that's a common expression I like to use with people. Buy black. You know, if you like something, you know, maybe, you know, the internet has made things much easier for us. You know, and a lot of people mm-hmm. need to start utilizing that. You know, there's a lot of black businesses out there. You know, selling things and goods and everything. And, you know, just buy black, you know, buy from your own people, you know, keep the money within our, you know, people and keep it out of the hands of the Jews, man. Oh, man. God, man.
Well, okay, since you said that, let me ask you a question. You say you're from New York, right?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn.
You're from Brooklyn. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. How many black-owned grocery stores, fully stocked grocery stores, do you have in your neighborhood right now that you can go and that you can go and go into and shop?
You know, it's such a big city. I maybe see a couple of them.
Huh?
I maybe see a couple of them, man. If there's a bunch out there, then I would definitely go over there and start, you know,
Well, that's my point exactly. And that's why I'm saying in your neighborhood. You say we got to buy black and we got to support black. But how in your neighborhood, how many black owned businesses are there that you can go and you know, shop at?
There's quite a few.
There's quite a few? Okay. Well, you're in Brooklyn, of course, to a certain extent. But
yeah.
how many of us actually go in there where we can go in there and shop without having to worry about you know, being mugged or jumped on or bothered?
That's kind of a hard thing to think about, you know?
Yeah. You know, and that's my point. You know, it's one thing to say we need to, but the question is, what are we doing? What are we doing about it?
That's exactly, brother. And you know what? I'm gonna kind of like recollect on that and everything, but I best be going right now. Hey, brother, thank you for having me on the show and everything. And
no problem.
I hope to see better for our people. Remember, I'll tell all the black people out there, if you see some mofo with a big nose, beady ass eyes, and big ass ears, he might be a Jew. Stay away from him.
All right. All right. We want to thank Lamont from New York, Brooklyn, New York, that I'm talking about.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man. All right. Have a good one. All right. And the brother brought up some good points, y'all. He brought up some good points. But in the same token, you know, I had to ask that question because, you know, it's a legitimate question to ask. You know, when we keep saying, well, we need to, but in our own neighborhoods, you know, what do we have there? You know, you understand what I'm saying? You know, and that's the thing that the black elite have now. You know, they're entrepreneurs. You know, they do things like they're entrepreneurs. You know, they have their own businesses. And so instead of working within our own community, they go ahead and roll out. They go and move into the communities where the normal African American or black person can't live. They can't. You know, I put in the chat room the book I was talking about, the article I was talking about from W.E.B. DuBose, you know, The Talented Tenth. You know, I have the website right there. And I suggest you check it out because, you know, as I was reading, my eyes were really open to a lot of things. You know, so I suggest you go ahead and take a look at that also. Hey, Charlotte, I see you out there. I see. I'm having a little trouble with this thing on this chat room here, but I see you. Okay? All right. Now, anyway, back to what we was talking about. We still on the black elite, y'all. We're not even going from there today. That's where we're going to stay at. Okay? Now, as I was saying, though, you know, when the civil rights movement got started, you know, and with the affirmative action, you know, that brought around a whole lot of changes because as the old elite died out, you know, they brought in the new elite, you know, and that was the kids, the children, you know, they're growing up now. So now they're pushing education. They become educated entrepreneurs, actors, singers, you know, those that compromise the top 9% of the elite status. Now, understand, this word is still being used, elite. You know, they're not saying they're the top 9-10%, period. They just said of the elite. You know, of the elite. And that is something that's interesting. I'm going to say interesting. I know how to pronounce the word, y'all. Now, leave me alone on that one. All right. Now, let's check this out. At one point, Washington D.C. was both the capital of the United States, but also the capital for the black elite. Huh? Did you hear that? D.C. You know, in D.C., which was built on the labor of African Americans, just in case y'all wanted to know that. To which the beacon lights of the nation drew like moths to a flame. The color of the elite of the capital centered around Howard University and the governmental posts. The elites from other cities knew their status was assured if they were accepted by Washington's black society. So you see where it's going now. Now you have all these other people, all these other so-called black elite. But as in everything else, there is a pecking order. So just because they were part of the black elite, you know, that don't mean they were of the top black elite percentage of the black elite. Man, let's go on and get it on out there now. So now the colored elite, you know, they had to be accepted by Washington's black society. Now, you hear that? The same way that the white elites gained recognition if they had conquered Newport or New York society, the black elite in other cities had their own unique stories to tell, which were tied to the unique status of both enslaved blacks and free persons of color before the Civil War. Once again, we're talking about before the Civil War, but now we're getting in into the descendants. Now, remember what I said now, before we started, before we got down to this far, remember back before the Civil War, where it was not uncommon to see a black man, or a white man and a black woman, or a black man and a white woman. I'm just saying. Depends on where you live at now. Let's get that straight. Cause I know some of y'all are like, yeah, depends on where you live at. You know, and you know, sometimes you know we're kind of misled on our history. We are. So that's why, you know, I did a show a couple of last week about reading. That's why we have to read it, black folk, people. We have to read so we'll know what our history is all about. Once again, I'm putting another link down if you want to go and check out some of what I'm saying. You know, the links are out there. They're out there. I'm putting them in the chat room. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. You had other cities with the black elite. Okay? Remember, they migrated to Washington, D.C. because that was the capital. That's where the top percentage of the elite were. And they had to be accepted there. That's right. You had Baltimore. Okay? You know, Baltimore is nothing but a skip and a hop away from Washington. So the elite between Baltimore and Washington, they mingled together. Huh? Yeah, they mingled all together. Hey, P. Yankee, glad to see you in there, guy. You see what I'm saying? So the black elite was, you know, it wasn't just a spot here. It was a spot here, a spot there, but as I mentioned before, as in nature, there is a pecking order. And for any of them to be really accepted, they had to be accepted by that group up there in Washington, D.C. Woo! You know, you had the ones in Baltimore, Charleston, South Carolina. Okay? Now, Charleston, that's right. Charleston, you know, that was the most aristocratic city of the South for blacks and whites. Huh? And most of them, if not all, of the black elites in Charleston had a deep, deep ties to the white aristocrats. Once again, if you look at it, trying to be like who? The white person. I'm not trying to start nothing, y'all. I'm just putting it out there. Everybody keep talking about the black elite. So let's talk about what the black elite was about and what they are about. Huh? Now, if you want to join in the conversation, you got something to add, that's no problem. 347-838-8622. Give me a call. Or send me an email at ericbesttalk@gmail.com or hit me up in my chat room. You know? I am the universe. You are absolutely right. The fraternities, the sororities, that was all set up by the elite. You notice how I keep saying elite. That's what that was. The average Joe, number one, couldn't go to universities. And Lord help you if you're talking about getting in one of the fraternities or sororities. Now, I know a lot of y'all out there, you know, y'all part of a fraternity. Y'all part of a sorority. But how many really know what that stands for? How that came about? That's right. Let's go on to put it out there. You know, New Orleans. Huh? New Orleans, where most of the black elite trace their lineage to free people of color, but developed on a completely separate line than Charleston due to New Orleans' unique history because they enjoyed more privileges. and were more respected by their white neighbors than any other city in the United States. That's right. I am the universe. There are 9 historic black Greek letter organizations, BLLOS, that make up the National Pan-Hellenic Council collectively. These organizations are referred to as the Divine Nine. Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, education, it's out there. It's out there. The only thing we got to do is talk about it, y'all. We have so many people out there that know what's going on or have knowledge. But, see, here we go again. We keep it to ourselves. Why? Why? Why we keep it to ourselves? You know, the talented 10. You know what? And since we on the talented 10, you know, there's another little clique out there, too. Yeah. It's called the, the Talented 7. I had it written down here. I'll get to it in a minute. But, yeah. You know, but we're talking about. So if anybody wanted to know where the fraternities came from, how they got started, that's how they got started. Huh? That's how they got started. Now, don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. As you know, they started back before the Civil War. So we're not talking about somebody who just Johnny lately come along. This is old, old money. This old descendancy. Bianchi says actually the wealthiest blacks in the U.S. come from Nigeria. I think this guy is above Oprah. But see, here we go with that, Bianchi. You know what? And that's a misconception. I'm glad you mentioned that, because just because you're wealthy, just because you have money, that does not make you a part of the elite. And that's the catch. So don't think you're going to go out there and become super duper duper rich by winning the lottery. And all of a sudden you're part of the black elite, because no, you are not. Because if your lineage is not there, in other words, if you don't have, if you're not back there with the family, I mean, you don't have the family descendancy and stuff. No. I'm just telling you. No. Yeah, I know you said, well, Oprah got to be. No. See what I'm saying? It's not about, it's not particularly all about just the money. The money. You know, and who said this? I am the universe. You know, there's another thing called the that ties in with the elite, called the Black Skulls and Bones, or the Bully. Well, I know he is not a part of some black elite. Give me a name for this bunch. Give a name for what bunch, Bianchi? Because we talking about the elite today. What bunch you want to know about? Now, check this out, y'all. It's really interesting, because you have the Bolay. Bolay. B-O-O and then L-A-Y. Bolay. In 1904, the first African-American Greek secret society was formed in Philadelphia. See, and see, that's what I'm saying. We got all this going on right around us. But only thing we know is when we go to our little step shows, you know, because everybody got to go to a step show every time you get a chance, and you watch our frat brother and sorority sister do their thing, you know, that's all you worried about. But there's more to it. There's more behind it. You know, those groups or entities weren't made for you and me. They weren't. You know, look at Nigeria's senator and representative in their government earn $1.7 and $1.4 million per year. Well, I mean, Bianchi, that is great. That is great. But if they don't have that family lineage, or, you know, family tree that goes back to the original certain families, then no, they're not part of the elite. They're rich. They're rich as hell. There's no doubt about that. But if they don't have that lineage, then no, that does not make them a part of the elite. The bully isn't hitting on nothing. I knew a lawyer who showed up on their list, and he is broke as a mouse. Well, that's true. That's true. It could be true, but it's still out there, though. The bully is still out there. And, you know, whether he's broke or not, that's on them. But they recruit the top blacks in American society into his rank. Huh? Today, 5,000-plus male bully members and their wives. They have 112 chapters, you know, that make up the wealthiest group of black men and women on the planet. Now, here's the question, though. Some of them really, the question that a lot of people are putting out there now is, who does the bully really serve? Now, here we go. And they say they serve mostly the satanic or slash mostly white global elite. Now, I don't know about that, but I'm just telling you who they, what they do. And Bianchi, you may be right. A lot of them may be broke now. But they are constantly recruiting, though. You know, and you know, the elite, we keep saying the elite, but it's more than just elite. It's the societies out there. Almost you can say secret societies, because they're there. They're out there. But we never know anything about it unless we get to a certain standard of living to where we may get recruited. But then once again, you have to have that family tree. Beyonce said, believe me, there is no black family ties that are commanding any respect in this country. That's some of that ghetto legend stuff. Oh, well, Bianchi, you know what? It's funny you may say that in some instances. Yes, it is. And it's not just because of the black family name, but it's because of where it came from in the beginning. You know, as you say, you know, as I mentioned before, you have the slave, you had the slaveholder, you know, with the female black slave. So believe it or not, that's still a lineage there. You know, and all of them didn't treat them bad. You know, they educated some of them. They freed some of them. So they did all that. So it's still there. There is nothing secret. Bianchi said, there is nothing secret about black Americans. They are broke and broker. Oh, my goodness, Bianchi. I said, you ain't happy with this. I Am the Universe says, bole is about maintaining control. That is exactly why the bole serves its purpose. And you're right. You're right. Y'all see, and it's amazing. It's amazing. How many of y'all actually knew that before we started today? See, that's why I love this show, because we get the information out there. That's right. Out of Universe says, to make sure you Negroes stay broke, misled, and programmed. Ah. And that's why it's out there, huh? Stay broke, misled, and programmed. We're not even conditioned. We programmed, huh? Wow. Now, you know what, though? Steve Coker used to speak on this a long time ago. Okay. All right. Well, Bianchi, you want to call in and tell us what Mr. Steve Coker used to say? You know, or give us a link so we can go check it out ourselves. You know, because this is some interesting stuff. It really is. Conspiracy, here it is right here. Conspiracy theorist and futurist Steve Coker had this to say: anywhere there are prominent professional blacks, chances are they're in the bole. Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson are reported to have been bole members, among many other high profile, successful, and money blacks, such as Barack Obama, Bill Cosby, Al Sharpton, and Thurgood Marshall. Okay, that's Steve Coakley. That was Steve Coakley said, y'all. It's right here in front of me. Indeed he did. Yeah. Yeah, it's right here in front of me. You know, and that once again, it's one of them societies out there you never know who's a part of. You never know. They're influential one way or another. You know, so yeah, that's all right. I'm finna drop the link where I got that from also. You know, and the whole thing, because you know, you have to have links and you have to let people know. And we put them in there. Y'all go and check them out. Y'all go and check them out. It's one of those things where it's better to know than not know. In this instance, you know, you can see it for yourself. Because some people ain't not gonna believe unless they see it for themselves. Pianki, yeah, you got that kind of backwards, Pianki. It's the other way around. Sigma Pi Phi. Yeah, that was the original. That was the original group fraternity that got started. And you see, and then the more we talk about it, the more things are coming out. Huh? The more things are coming out. That's why I love it. I love it. You know, and this is part of what they call being the elite. Huh? Check this out. Today, some of the largest of these organizations were set up to provide dating opportunities for the children of suburban black professionals. See what I'm saying? It didn't have nothing to do with the lower income. Suburban black professionals, the children. The children. You hear me? Oh, teens living in nearly all white neighborhoods and attending nearly all white schools, environments that unconsciously or otherwise exclude them from social events or coming of age rituals. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And most of these groups, Jack and Jill, the Lynx, the Girlfriends, the Coalition of 100 Black Women, they also philanthropic, okay? They raise money for scholarships, public relief efforts, mentoring, and health care. You know? But we'd never know that. We that's not for us. It's not set up for us. Now, some of us, we ease in, but it's not set up for us. Like Haddish or the Junior League, the most vibrant and visible of them are matriarchies, serviced by well-educated, mostly married women whose husbands are well-to-do enough to allow them to engage in charitable work. In other words, they don't have to work. Only their job is to go out there and make sure they find a charity to give their husband money to. Pianki says, blacks don't have any visible, viable businesses. Black riches come from working from others. How are you going to create a conspiracy group challenging the mainstream while working for them at the same time? That's suicidal. Well, that's the point exactly. When these groups were formed, Pianki, guess what? They weren't trying to work for nobody. They had theirs. And a lot of these folks still do. If you know, they are philanthropic. Huh? So I mean, they got money of their own. They have their own. And so, you know, in a lot of cases, in an average neighborhood, African American neighborhood, you're right, Pianki. We don't have any viable businesses, none whatsoever. But in this instance, the black elite, no. they have their own, because they go out and they emulate the white person. Now, whether that's right or wrong morally, hey, it got to them where they are. So now they're forming groups to make sure, to ensure that their children make sure that their lineage, their heritage remains of a high level. You know, we like to call them bougie. You know, well, that's just the bougie. I am the University of Boy Scouts. But y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, and of course, there's a lot of men's organizations, too. No, that has been historically somewhat secretive. And they got more rituals even and better hats, like the Knights of Columbus, the Bohemian Club. You know, these clubs are all about bolstering manhood through mutual esteem, fine whiskey, cigars, and purest nepotism. 100 Black Men of America, the Guardsmen, the Bole. See, that group keeps coming out, the Bole. And these and 1,000 other networks are the backbone of the black bourgeois, which means the bougie. Once again, it's out there. Bill Gates and Ralph Ellison have more wealth than all 39 million blacks and their businesses put together. And, okay. Okay, Bianca, I mean, yes, they do have the money. They have the money. But let me ask you this. What race are they, Pianki? Are they black? Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Are they African-American? Are they Caucasian? Are they Hispanic? What? And you know what? It'd be interesting to see, are they, just because they have all that money, are they a part of the white elite? Because I'm sure if we have a black elite, there's definitely a white elite. If we know where these people are meeting, we need to band together and whoop their butts out of town. Bianchi, you got the fraternities, brother. The fraternities are set up like that. You can't just go in there and beat all the fraternities out. Some of the historically black colleges, Howard University, Fisk, Morehouse, just to name a few. Those were set up by the black elite, the original elite, to educate their kids. Now it's gotten a little better because they can afford it now to where their kids can go to Yale, Harvard, you know, Yale and Harvard, and even across the water, Rhodes Scholars. I am the universe says dumbed down program Negroes still think MLK NAACP was a good thing. Oh Lord have mercy. See what oh Lord have mercy. You know it, but it's interesting, it really is. It's you know, and there's more out there, though. What we're talking about right now is just the little things. You know, you understand what I'm saying? The little bit of things that's out there. I am the universe says MLK was a catastrophe for Negroes. Well, I am the universe. You need to explain that one a little bit more to me, bro. Come on, talk to me. But I need you to clarify that one. Let's see. I have a caller on hold. Let me see. Hello, you're listening to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. Hello, what's on your mind?
Yeah, this is Bianchi.
Okay, Bianchi.
The Boule calling.
Oh, what's going on with you, man?
Yeah. Man, look.
Yeah.
Ain't no black secret societies in America. And I told you the reason why. You know, them groups, those people who had these, I guess you call them wealth systems, team up with each other to go against other groups who are vibing for the same thing. Look at your House of Saud. Look at your groups that's in Russia that Putin had. Then go down into South America and look at the group that Slim had. Blacks ain't got no groups like that. Here's a simple reason why. Because blacks work for other people. How in the hell are you going to be scared? How are you going to go against the people that you actually working for? That's crazy. I mean, that's like African-Americans who's working for other folks say we're going to start billing and paying for our own thing and supporting it. Well, hell, the people that you challenging, they just lay your butt off. And that right there stops the income. The only way
but
you
not
can have your viable secret society, you have to challenge
income?
Those folks in the same thing that they're doing, especially when what they're doing affects or dependent upon you or they're supplying you with something. That's what cartels do. I mean, have you ever known one drug group to be working for another drug group selling drugs themselves against that other drug group? It ain't going to work like that. So all that old legendary story that blacks we hear coming out of blacks is like the same thing we hear about this, that, and the other. Ain't no legitimacy, man. People make a conspiracy story out of any damn thing. You know how spooktacular we are.
Well, you know what, though? It may be a conspiracy theory, but it makes sense, though. Okay, why do I have an echo going on there? You close to your speakers.
Yeah, let me cut those speakers off. And that's another thing, too. You hear people saying, well, they scared of the black. Ain't nobody scared of black men. What are they scared of them for? You know, there was a time whenever we had events like Africa.
They're scared of them.
Ain't nobody scared of black folks, man. Not in America. Don't nobody fool you. The only person scared of black folks is black folks themselves in their own neighborhood. But it was a time when blacks could have their outings. Yeah, there was a time when blacks would have their outings during the holidays in the park, you know, for a black liberation day and all that. And I remember it used to be a policeman for every black person out there. Now they don't even lift the eyebrow at you when you form those things because they ain't worrying about you.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they got 2 million.
Well, I mean, they're not worried about it because we're doing it to ourselves, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Ain't nobody scared of you. Scared of what? What you going to do? Eat on welfare or you working for somebody on an underpaid job? And you got a few that's doing appreciably well. Go ahead.
But see, what you're talking about is the lower echelon of the African American community. What we're talking about is this society that fashions themselves and mingles within the white society. You know what I'm saying? So they are.
Brother, I'm going to tell you something.
Okay, listen, go ahead.
I can speak very well for one of the major industries in America. And that's commercial construction. Ain't no black folks doing nothing in no commercial construction. Well, you do see people who head like billion-dollar businesses like Bechtel and so forth like that. African Americans are not doing that. So they aren't. What are you going to fear from? You ain't going to fear from them. I mean, it just ain't going to happen like that. You cannot work for somebody and turn around and compete against them. You ever heard the old saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you?
You're right. But the premise behind the elite is they're not working for anybody. They're working for themselves, if anything.
Brother, look, it ain't no black folks in this country that I know of that's working
well,
for themselves.
Well, see, exactly, that you
and
know
I
of.
Know a whole lot of them. I mean, you can't even point out. See, first off, when you see something that looks unusual, the first thing you do is say, what's behind this? And as in the Wizard of Oz, you can pull open 100 curtains. You won't find that one black person from America behind those curtains that's doing the thing that the Wizard of Oz would be doing.
Well, okay. Let's twist it this way then. If that's the case, and you see that one person that's got it going on, and then what? Everybody has their hand out toward that one person. So wouldn't it be more conducive to stay undercover?
No. I mean, just name some, and I'll tell you what. I mean, I know them all, but I know some of them that's I'm talking about, you know, almost billionaires. Now, I know one family, a black family here, but they're doing pretty bad now. They was almost at the billionaire status, but they kind of fell off. Those were the Roberts brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They own like three city blocks in downtown St. Louis. They just built a 20-story office building. And they own, stuff down in Bermuda. You know, Bermuda, actually, if you had any boules, it would be in Bermuda. The blacks in Bermuda have a higher a net income than blacks in America.
Well, but here's the thing about that. That for as far as we know, all right? Like you say, this could be this elite, this so-called elite could be a myth. Oh, what the word I'm looking for? Urban
ghetto legend.
Yeah, urban legend, a ghetto legend.
And I ain't saying it to make fun. Actually, just for me to say that is really let you know what needs, there's work to be done. But until you own some major things, like there was some brothers back in the day, like in the 20s, you had Jake Simmons, who was an oil baron coming out of Texas, who was a major political broker. Now he could. Now he would fit that description.
Mm-hmm.
But it just ain't enough of them that you can. Because who would he work with? He'd have to go back and work with them. So you talking about? You have to go against the grain. You would have to challenge them. Like I always say, we accuse our children of trying to speak white. And blacks have it all backwards, man. We accuse our children of trying to speak white based on the fact that they use proper vocabulary, they use diction, and they use the correct structuring of sentences. But that ain't got shit to do about talking white. Talking white is when you sitting around a table talking about offshore oil well drilling, when you talking about leverage buyouts and equity financing, when you talking about sanctions and boycotts. That's talking white.
That's talking white, huh?
That is talking white.
So, okay, before we go any further, let's see. We say, I am the universe says MLK relieved Negroes of all economic and cultural social independence. Wow. Interesting.
Now, but I don't know what they would control. They can't control. I mean, you can look at your athletes. Well, the closest person I see that's doing something, then he may not be the only one. I could name a few others. Magic Johnson is doing some tremendous things as far as carving out a strong, very powerful enterprise. But he's working. I don't know who he's working with, but I think he needs to have some people on board with him.
Well, Magic's actually has a lot of people on board if he's just not out there, handling it himself. But it's still, Pinyanki, the group that we're talking about today, they're like ghosts almost.
You got that, right.
They're
ghosts, all right.
They're not out there in the public eye. If they are, you don't know them.
Brother, I'm going to tell you something. Don't even believe that. They ain't out there.
They're not out there, huh?
Nope. Now, that ain't no, I'm not condemning. I'm just saying they're not out there, and they should be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Black should be out there doing, look at Carlos, look at Soros, what he's over in Uganda. He ain't over there trying to promote no peace. He's over there trying to take control of some resource. Well, African Americans should be doing the same thing. I know a few brothers that's doing copper mining in Zambia. At least I've heard. I have never talked to them, but that's just a few, and they're not. It's just them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how successful they are.
Hmm. But if okay, so you saying we got to, if we want to get where we with these so-called elite are, we just need to go somewhere and just just leave of America and go to another country. And
well, it'd be hard to do in America because, you know, all them slots are taken up. A friend of mine went to an outing, I guess you can call it, an Asian outing. And he told me, Brother Davis told me that it was no less than 300, I think he said 350 Asians, and every last one of them had at least $250,000 in cash assets. That's very impressive. You have 350 people all in one area that's worth with cash. I mean, they can go and put their hands on it. I ain't talking about someone who's got to sell shit and all that stuff, take it to the pawn shop.
Yeah,
this
well, who,
cash
who, yeah, but who's to say that the so-called black elite doesn't have it? I'm sure if they are considered.
Well, you know
top.
Why they don't have it? Because the Asians are doing, they are everywhere where they could even come across that money out of black community. Now, we ain't going to say that black folks are taking this out of white community. Come on now, we know better than
no,
that.
No, but what I'm saying is the black folks are making it, taken out of the black community and going to live among the whites and the Asians.
All right, let me ask you, taking it out where?
The money
black
they
folks,
made.
They got smart enough. Asians ain't going to be prostituted where they are used as a front. I was down in Louisiana. And I went to a restaurant, a soul food restaurant, and they had a blackout at the front. Asians was in the back cooking your macaroni and cheese, your candy yams, your smothered pork chops, your cornbread, your breast dressing. Them Asians back there cooking. So they had a black person out there on the order as a front. But you don't see no blacks owning nothing where they have Asians as front. They ain't gonna do that. Because their culture tell them better.
Okay, let's see. I am the universe says Bole is real. PIAN Atlanta Whole Company's department is Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity, founded 1911, Indiana University.
Yeah, Kappa. That's a fraternity that's working.
Well, see, that
students going to university, but I'm talking about business, man. That's just a. I mean, the Boy Scouts is a fraternity. If we want to look at it, but where are they making? What are they controlling?
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Hey, you know damn well black folks ain't doing that. You see more damn spinning rims on Hummers and everything else running around the street.
But I mean, those are not considered the elite. Yeah, they may have some money, like you say, Hummers spinning, but that's not even about being a part of the elite.
But what
hold
are
on,
they?
I have, well, hold on. I have another caller. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello. Thank you.
Hey,
Aaron,
how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I wanted to join the conversation.
Well, go ahead. Get part of it.
Well, I understand what he's saying, and no, I think it might be a facade too about the elite. But what he's saying is, I think I hear him saying is that we need to pick up our games. Period.
That's right. We got all the combination we need to create them, but we don't have them now. Matter of fact, we had that back in the day, but we don't have it now. I'm talking about in ancient times.
And the thing is our buying power and what we choose to buy. How about we don't buy nothing that's not an asset? No spinning wheels, no designer purses. Well, I'll see white women, they'll go on Kmart and buy a pair of pants with elastic band on the waist for, what is that, $9.99? And everything we cost got to cost $99. You know what I'm saying? So we got this hype where there's a target market for us. With the money we do have, we buy dumb stuff.
Yeah, not only that, see, the money that people see, and here's another point too, and we have to admit this and be truthful. Much of the money that you see our folks, and I ain't going to say all of them, but a lot of them, maybe not, is coming from the government in the form of WIC, in the form of SSI, and whatever else is out there, the SNAP, SNAP, and whatever else is out there. that's where, and what's that other thing that where the mama get the money for the children? That's where they spending. That's where that money is coming from. Yeah. Well, I only think it ain't child support, not because first black men. And somebody told me that black males unemployment is like 38%. Man, that is totally ridiculous.
Well,
but there are some simple things we could do.
No, but yeah, there is some simple things we could do with that.
I'm optimistic. You know, just like, I mean, we have enough smart, intelligent people and people who know how, you know, in our race to help one another. Just like I was saying before, they'll give you that loan for that $50,000 car, but they don't want to give you that loan for that small business.
Well, you know what? Here's another point, too. We don't study other black folks, neither. We don't study them African immigrants, especially them Somalis. Those Somalis up in Minnesota started a Sharia banking system. Now, Sharia banking is not new to the United States because you got a big Sharia bank in Chicago that's been there for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And Sharia is banks that follow the Islamic tradition. And they provide money for capital for businesses and mortgages, and they don't charge any interest. Now, they're making it up some way, but they don't charge interest. And they are very prosperous.
You say they're making it up some kind of way, huh?
Well, for instance, you couldn't get no business loan to go out and start a casino because that's against their culture,
mm-hmm.
which is a major component of why you see success in other ethnic groups. They got such a strong culture. Alone, do's and don'ts. But like the lady said, I've said this too. The funny thing is, the challenge is how you put together all that talent that lies within the African American community. I mean, you got a lot of talent there. And those that's working, who gets paid those big salaries, they working in some kind of managerial position for corporations. They actually running a business.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and I can't tell people what to do, once you get those skills, you're supposed to come out of there and compete against that entity. Hiring and using your own people as your labor force, putting your own people to work. Look how the Hispanics do it. Somebody was complaining in some town, I think, down south, in Atlanta or someplace there, say Hispanics is hiring, it was in Atlanta. They say Spanish are hiring their own, they ain't hiring blacks. In Atlanta, can you believe that?
But guess what? That's what they're supposed to do. You cannot get mad at no man who decides to look out and take care of his own. Only dumbasses who don't want to take care of their own. You know, there's a point where we got to quit fighting each other.
But when
you're right,
that point don't
come? You got to quit fighting each other. You got to get back to the point where we can marry. I mean, in America, when you marry, that there means more money and less taxes you pay. I mean, even if you look at it from that point. But you got to have that couple as a household. You can't have the things we have. Then what's going to happen to your children? Children can't. I mean, it's just everything just messed up. Hopefully,
you know what? And I was working on it too because I was writing it. And the name of it is really about the perfect antidote. And the perfect antidote is where women and men decide to quit fighting, come together. And women, we have a lot of power, a lot of control. Because if you think about it, we house men. And I'm going to say that because your first home is where? The womb. So we do have some power. And the thing is, we have to use it wisely, sweetly. You know what I mean? And say, hey, you know what? We ain't going to sleep with everybody. Because you know what? To be with me, you have to be my mate. You're going to have to marry me.
Well, you know what? They should say, you ain't coming home to the womb until we put something business together to run them immigrants out of our community.
And also, too, just like you said, okay, now, how many of us know how to write business plans? Okay, I don't. How many people know how to do the financial plan? I might be good at that part. How come we can't barter and do things for one another just for the common good? To say, hey, you know what? The only way we're going to tackle this is to come at each other and do it for the good.
Well, okay. Now, you know, for us, one is, it's like this. If you're going to do it for one person, you know, you got to say, what I'm going to get out of it? Because you're going to get that
well,
old adage, one hand washes the other.
You can say something as simple as this. I'm going to do one pro bono a month. Every month, I'm going to reach out and do something for one other person. It's, you know what I mean?
And that makes it so easy.
Well,
go ahead,
yeah, it's easy. It's necessary. I mean, that's what has to be done. That's why come this government, this system, as we know it today, needs to fall. Because as long as African Americans, blacks, looking toward the government for everything,
a job,
entitlement,
anything.
Everything, that's what's propping them up and keeping them from coming to that logical thinking.
And we buy into their hype. So if we wasn't spending our money on what they were selling, we didn't buy into all their hype, we still have some money left. They created an industry for us, and we run around like we're still under that Willie Lynch. And
well,
like you said, it was going to be spinning on this axis for a while, and these wheels are still turning.
You know
what,
though?
You had a city council, brother. You had a city council in Detroit. And sat around the table. Detroit, 90-some-odd% black. Detroit, Michigan.
Right.
They were sitting around the table drawing up a minority hiring plan.
Well,
can
see,
you imagine
that? No, I can't imagine that. But who was there to stop it?
Well, there was people telling me it was crazy, but they didn't pay no attention. They were actually drawing up a minority hiring plan that would make sure that a percentage of blacks be on construction jobs and be in the line to receive, you know, some part of a contract that the government was purchasing, whether it was paper. That was crazy.
That was completely crazy. But you know what? I mean, let's be honest. There are some groups out there that, you know, will discriminate.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with discriminating. What's wrong with discriminating? As long as you don't break somebody's offend somebody's civil rights.
No. You miss
it.
No, not when it's discrimination within. No, that is not good.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, but
I mean is we have some blacks that discriminate against blacks, and there's a lot of cases why we can't get anywhere.
Well. Yeah, that's acting.
We rather fight. It's like we have almost no conflict resolution skills, and it's like the ones coming up behind us, these young ones today, zero tolerance for conflict resolution. I mean, we want to battle on things that don't even make sense. You know, like we don't even got enough sense to pick our fight. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, we got to keep talking about it, and some people are, you know, I hear more people talking about this. About the economy not being is the problem, not racism and all that other stuff. We all, you know, have some group. You know, another thing, blacks profit off. That's the ones you're talking about. Blacks profit off of black folks suffering too, especially these organizations. These organizations, some of these organizations should have been out of business a long time ago, but they continue to go on, and then they sit down and negotiate things that leave you away from the direction where you're supposed to be. For instance, like school busing. That was another stupid thing, busing your children out of your community.
Well, see, that's part of the major plan of the secret society to to limit the education or that we were going to get.
Well, they're miseducating us anyhow. There are a number of groups that pull their children out of the school system here lately.
You're right. Yeah.
Because
no, lately.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I would say you are right. You know, because the trend is what is it now? Homeschooling. You know.
It's cyberschooling.
And you know, somebody I saw on Facebook, one of the Facebook pages, somebody put on there of Malcolm X, who said, how you going to let the enemy educate your children?
That's
the way it's going a lot of ways right now.
And you're buying into the hype. Let's say, for instance, if you did do cyber school, homeschooling. This mandated reporting, raising your kids. The government is raising your kids, and they're raising you not to be part of their family. They're raising you to be part of their army. Because they don't want you to have no attachment. That's why you can't do what you want with your kids, because they could call the police and tell on you, and whatever your rules or guidelines is, it has nothing. They could come in and intervene. Come in your home, walk around your home, and tell you what to do because they're the government. And it's called behavioral sciences. So the thing is, people are saying, oh, no. So guess what? We pull them out. Then they can't control us, not in that area. So there's a point where small ways we have to start taking back our control. So long as you don't have any control, you ain't nothing. Now, we can't even control our own kids, can't control our own anger. That's crazy.
We can't even control our own money. So, yeah, that's crazy.
We ain't got none.
Yeah, that's true, too. The average wealth of a black woman is what, anywhere from $5 to $100?
Well, I'm not in that group, honey. But you're
some
bad,
kind of way
though.
I know you was going to say that.
I got $10.
So anyway, I don't know what it's going to take. We do have the skills to turn things around now, but for some reason, it just ain't. I think it's going to have to take this, that this nation as a nation needs to crumble some more. There's supposed to be some things coming up as far as the financial system, because the United States is in terrible financial shape. You can't get no broke. The only entity I know broker than black folks is the U.S. government.
Well, you know what, Pianki, we're going to go there. You know what? The world themselves is in a bad financial state.
Part of the world. Not all. Half of the world is, and that's the Western world. The rest of it is doing pretty good because they wasn't tied up into that stuff.
Oh, so that's a better way of life then, or they just manage better?
Well, you have almost 30 nations that is pulling away from the U.S. dollar. So they only use it, it was stipulated that any oil deals had to be done in U.S. dollars, but people are getting away from it. Iran is getting away from it. Russia, South American countries are getting away from it, and they're moving away from that.
But you think
about it, the U.S. bullies everybody. Now, how am I being your friend and you bullying me?
Right, nobody trusts it. That's the only reason Barack Obama was so welcome, because they say this is a new face. Let's see what's going on here. But he don't mess things up. I'm scared of his foreign policies.
You know what?
Well, you know what? He's doing what he's told. And whoever gets that position is going to do what they're told.
Now, here's the point. If they can't do it with him, then they know they're in trouble. Because other white presidents ain't going to do as they told. They're going to have to have some type of say-so and direction.
I think it's a paid position.
Well, yeah, it is a paid position. But here's the point. If those who control things, and without even naming names, can't get it done with Obama, then they in trouble. Which, you could have told them that before Obama was even left. Y'all in trouble. Been telling you that for all along.
I think everybody who takes that job understands and knows. I don't think there's no red and blue. I don't think there's no Democrat or Republican. I think it's just the masses making you believe you have a choice. I mean, the higher-ups making you believe you have a choice.
Well, that's true, because if you talk about certain issues, certain geopolitical events, both sides agree, what the problem is and how to take care of it. But if you talk about social issues or some economic issues, there's always some disagreement here and there. But when it comes about by projecting power, imperialism, and so forth like that, they both all agree most of the time.
Well, you know what? The way it's set up to have a figurehead, and then the rest of it is like whatever. Is who's gonna pay whose pocket's getting paid? I mean, filled the fastest, and that's the way things are gonna go. So you're right; things need to go another way.
Well, I think if it does, then people will have opportunity to, when the big tree falls, then those people who couldn't reach up to the lowest limb now have opportunity to just walk over and bend over and pick it up. So I think that's what it's going to take.
You think that was going to happen? I'm about to ask them the question. If the big tree falls, the question is, who's going to be there to hear it?
Oh, you'll hear it all right.
Well, I'm saying this. If the big tree don't fall, me, you, him, and she should make some money anyway.
Well, yeah, we can, but things got to be restructured. That's why white folks buying all these guns. People think they're buying it because of Obama. They ain't buying it because of Obama. They can buy it because they see what's coming down.
That's right.
All these folks have been paying into Social Security and Medicare and all that stuff. When they come time for them to receive that, and it's not there, you're going to have some mad folks out there.
Hey, they buying food and water, too. They create their little storages. They getting ready.
So the question is, you know, and of course it's going to affect a lot of people. I'm talking about black communities and what they going to do. Negroes don't know nothing about going out and growing their own food no more. And they get fast food. And if you can't get fast food, then they got to go to the stores. And you know the stuff in the stores. And see, blacks in America ain't like Japanese. Japanese went over into the grocery stores, and if it was 10 bottles of water, they would take two and leave the rest for somebody else. That ain't going. That type of a courtesy ain't going to be happening in our community. They're going to go in there and they see a loaf of bread. They're going to take 40, even though by the time they get around to two, the rest of it is spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That is so true. That is, oh, what did it say, taking and put it in the freezer?
Ain't going to be no freezer because electric's going to be off. and for one time, for a chance, it's not because you didn't pay your bill.
No, but you know what, though, Pianki, come think about it now, and that's a good point. Now, some of them say, I'm being an entrepreneur. They'll buy up all the bread, then sell it at double the price to their fellow man, so they'll make money.
Well, food stamp card don't work no more. Snap card ain't working.
Exactly. But you're going to have to give up something if you want some bread.
And that's true. Ain't nobody got no cash. That's why I come to
Pianki,
people on
you
the
ain't
street.
Right.
Ain't doing,
you ain't right.
Ain't doing no arm holdups. Ain't nobody. A guy asked me, man, you got a question. Man, all I got is plastic.
But when they say money ain't going to be no good, you ain't going to be able to do it with money.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to tell you something. That would be the best thing ever could happen to us. I ain't going to say the best thing. A lot of people going to suffer. But that would make people get off of this old crazy way that we've been existing and get back to how you should be. I mean, if you got five children, when they get grown, they all go out and you got five refrigerators. You got five living room sets, five dining room sets, about 10 bedrooms. Hell, that's stupid. You don't need to do that. You need to stay at the house. Have a bigger house and raise your family there. Then when you come down to breakfast, you can sit down around the table and talk business. When you come down to supper, you can sit around the table and talk business and plan.
You know what? That'd be driving me crazy.
Well,
what'd be driving you crazy, Charlotte?
Because I ask my kids, because, you know, the oldest is 21, 22, and everybody still lives here. And I says, what are y'all going to do, get married and have your kids, and you still want to live here? And he's like, well, you know, and when you think about it, it would be smart, but on the other hand, business hand, they don't really listen. They got, you know, they got their own way of doing things, but they're still living here and on my bill. So I got two more coming out of school this year, so it's like I'm only going to have one here, and I got six kids, and they all still live here?
Well,
it's like,
I take my hat off to you if you had six children nowadays. Well, most of these girls, they get pregnant, they throw that child away.
Well, I had three and I adopted three. So not only did I have three, I decided I was going to help and bring three more with me.
That's beautiful of you to do.
That's wonderful.
Well, thank you. Well, it's biting me in the rear, you know, on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to give you a hand clap for that one.
You ain't right. But you know what I mean, because, you know, it gets down to, you know, a thing of loyalty. And that's something else, though, that we have to do with our people. You know, we have to learn how to, you know, be okay with showing loyalty.
Yeah, your word is the last thing you have. But we also got to realize that everybody ain't going to make it.
No.
Right, but you know, when you want something, you know, when you can take yourself up to a higher level, be a higher person and say, hey, you know what, this is the only way I'm going to get it. Because to work with this group and to work with these people to get off my butt and, you know, to get up on my feet and do the things I need to do, I'm going to have to come right. I'm going to have to show some loyalty. I'm going to have to show up every day. I'm going to have to do my part. I'm going to have to carry my own weight. It's essential.
That's called work ethic. That's called ethics and morals and values. I mean, if you don't have that, if you're not getting that at home, how you expect them to have that?
You know what?
But to come out of this rut, we have to display that to one another. Because then it's like, I'm okay with helping you. You're okay with helping me. You could believe I'm going to pay you back. You could believe that you're doing this for the good. And I'm going to reach one.
You know, I'm going to tell you something else too. Is that we don't realize how much money that these immigrants make off of our community. These immigrants make enough money where they can send their children to these colleges and universities and pay full tuition. They ain't even looking for no scholarships. And that's one of the reasons why come universities are so open to immigrants, because they pay full tuition. Our children can't even go to school.
Our children don't even want to go to school.
Well, that too. But here's the point. How is it that others can come in and make enough money off of you, whereas they can put that type of mechanism in place where they can send their children to the top universities full tuition, paying for it out of their pockets?
Well, I see the way some of them lived. I worked with a company, and I worked with a lot of Asians and Indians from India. And the Asians, they will work unlimited overtime when they did work. We were up there eating fried chicken dinners because I worked the evening shift, and steak dinners. They're eating some rice, a piece of bread. They will live 30 in the house. Hey, they all have, you go to their house, they might have five bedrooms, a raggedy house, mat on the floor. They all stayed. They all, you know, even the Spanish, you know, they just did what they had to do. They grouped together, they huddled. And they worked hard, and each one came out with a business. They, you know, they worked together. They did something for each other. And while we all spend our money buying spinner wheels, they had clunkers and hoopties, and they just, they weren't dressed fancy. They didn't go out and get their hair, and they did their own hair, you know, nails, they did their own, if they cared about it. That's what I'm saying. That's how we spend our money. We keep buying into all these heights. Well, they buying in the businesses.
Exactly. Well, you know what though, their outlook on things are, you know, they whatever they do, they keeping it at home. Let's put it for real. They keeping it at home. When they go off to school, there's a goal that, okay, once you get this education, you gonna bring it back to our neighborhood, to our house, and it's going to stay in the community. Now, what we do, one thing we want to do is go and play basketball, football, be an actor, or what have you. And once we make it, we gone. No, it's just that simple. We moving mama, grandmama, brother, sister, everybody out of the neighborhood into the suburbs. And you know it's true.
Well, they do too. And I'm going to tell you this, I live in a neighborhood, and I'm guilty too. I live in a neighborhood just like that, and I see so many Spanish women. Let me tell you something. I went to a Spanish dinner with my seamstress, and I really did not know that all these Spanish women that I met at this party were Spanish, because they all pretended they were white.
That's part of the elite.
Let me tell you something. There had to be 35, 40 of these women there. Wasn't none of them married to a darky. And they all live in suburbia. They all live in well. You know what I mean? And guess what? Most of them don't really work. I mean, I can't talk, you know. They own simple businesses just like I do. I'm like, that. They come to the United States with their hand on a white man. They coming up.
Yeah, here's another thing. Blacks who start these businesses, they're selling something, and they go to the Asians to buy it wholesale, the Asians ain't going to give you no family prices where you can compete against their cousin down the street. They ain't crazy.
No.
And you're right about who they... If you go to China, or even Japan, they wear long gloves. They have veils because they don't want their skin to darken in the sun.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So if they don't want their skin to darken in the sun, they sure ain't going to marry somebody that's already dark.
That's right. To me, to know they're marrying the money is what I'm saying.
No, say that again. They're marrying the what?
They're marrying somebody with some money. When I said they're not marrying darkies, it's because they're living in suburbia, nice houses, nice cars. They're not even acting like that they are Spanish, that they are Mexican and Puerto Rican. Because I even had a Mexican, couple of Mexican exchange students. And I was down, and I had one in Puerto Rico. And I was down in Puerto Rico. When I came back, I went down and got me a nanny because I wanted to do some things when my children were little and I was busy. So I went down to Puerto Rico and brought me a nanny back so I could, be free a little bit. When I got here, not far from my neighborhood, she said, I found out one of my cousins were here. I took her over to meet her cousin, one of her mother's cousins, and she was living as a white woman. I seen your children at the school games. I said, do they speak Spanish? And she says no. And you know why they didn't speak Spanish? Or why she? Because she was pretending that she wasn't Spanish.
That reminds me of that movie, The Imitation of Life. You know, and same thing happened.
Well, yeah, you're right. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yes, it was.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're over here, you know, living. A couple of them, doctors, lawyers, you know, big businessmen.
But you know what they're doing with their business? They're taking advantage of the affirmative action program.
Okay. Oh, yes, they are.
Especially the Asian. Look, the clothes you got on your back from China,
mm-hmm.
It was made in China. It was shipped over here on a Chinese ship. It went through a Chinese broker agent to enter the country, and it goes to a Chinese warehouse to be distributed and transported to stores. They control it all the way.
Can't be mad at a man to take care of
them. I know you know that, Bianca. No, I mean, that's the difference. That's what they do.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I could get a forward shipper to ship me something in, too. I could take my behind over there. I mean, that's business. Write it off.
Yeah, but what we're talking about is totally different, though. We know you can go over there and get it, but what if you were over there and needed something shipped from over here? Do you think you could get it that way?
Ways to get it done.
Huh? From the neighborhood. You think you can get it shipped to you reliably that way?
And by the way, tell them we ain't talking about drugs. We're talking about
we ain't talking about drugs.
No, we know you.
I guess we do need to clear that up, huh?
Oh, boy.
What I'm saying is, you know what, all the talk in the world, you know, we still, the bottom line, you got to excuse me because I'm a silver lining person. We still got to try, still got to do it. You know, it starts with one person. You know, if you're taking care of your world, your world's taken care of. Let's do it. And be around
right.
other people to say, hey, you know what, I glory in your spunk. What you need?
Hey, you're right. I mean, that makes sense.
Eloquently said.
Yeah.
Because if I help
Rich
you help me, and you raise your kids, and you know, and one of the biggest things that I was told about was going to college. It wasn't just to go to college for the education, because I know the education really ain't worth diddly. But it's the contacts you make.
Well, you can make contacts without going to college.
There you go. That's where it's sick. Quit buying the hype. Take that same $50,000, $80,000, $120,000 and start your business.
That's what meetings supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about making contacts. That's what marriage supposed to be about, too. We're supposed to be married because
yes,
she's in love. You marrying this young girl because she's got beautiful breasts and hips. Wait till 10 years pass by.
Oh, you know what?
Well, hopefully after 10 years, there's still something there. If it's going to start dropping after 10, yeah, we're going to have to talk. We're going to have to get some kickstands or something, because no.
No, because our women don't look bad. You know, your women specifically hold their beauty a long time.
Without a doubt.
Fact, As a matter of fact, we don't look good, probably really good until after 35, 40. So
well,
40
on
40 to 65, we fine as hell.
I've seen some young girls in their early 30s, and they fooled the heck out of me. I thought they was much older than that.
Well, you know, that comes from all that, putting on all that other stuff, that makeup and, you know, them eyelashes and that crazy hair. You know, it's one thing to put a little bit of stuff on, but if you keep it caked on and you're sleeping in it and you're sweating in it, then, yeah, it's going to make you old. And then you got to think about the life they're living, too.
But I'm going to tell you, the best thing we can do, we always talking about our youth, the best thing you can do with our youth is to give them something to do productively. That's the best thing you can do. All that talking and telling them to pull up their pants and all that motivation stuff, that stuff lasts about as long as the damn meeting do.
You know what? Me and Mr. Solution came up with it yesterday. The best thing we can do for our youth that's not in school, require them to go to the military for at least 2 years. Get them some discipline in the military. When they come out,
we got to start providing something for our folks to do. That's just, only we're going to have 100% employment, we're going to have to hire our own folks, either go back in slavery.
Well, and that's the thing about the military. You get free food, you get somewhere to live, you can get your education while you're there. The military will pay for it. You see what I'm saying?
The military owe you something. You over there with them, you know, putting yourself on the line. They ain't paying you. They ain't giving you nothing.
Everybody,
and I don't even think it's worth it.
No, Charlotte, here's the catch that. Everybody's not putting nothing online. Just because you say you're in a combat zone don't mean you're in combat. See, that's the misconception that people are thinking about.
No, but I'm saying, but you are there working. They're paying, you know what I'm saying.
Well, you're going to work.
But
here's the catch to that. It's not as bad as people make it out to be. Okay? It's not that bad. It's no more than you getting up every day going to a 9-to-5 job out here. The only difference is you wear that uniform. And if something jump off, yeah, you may have to be able to go. Depends on what your job is. But at the same point, there's nowhere else out here in the civilian world where they would give you a half a day to go to school and you still get your monthly pay without getting docked or anything else. And they
well, if you can get skills there, I agree with you. And, you know, we have and blacks really
yeah,
have always
get,
turned to the military because of that very reason and also that it was less of the
you know,
things that you went through in the civilian world you didn't experience in the military, not to that degree anyway.
Right.
But military ain't taking people like
that. And you know what? It's good because they get that discipline.
Yeah,
well, you know what? That's
you can't
the
be
thing.
No high school dropout going to the military.
Well, not anymore. Is that because the wars are ending? Now, if the war was still going on, yeah, they would take you. But that's like after any war. Any war, they call itself downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now, as soon as something jump off, they start all over again. But if we go ahead and make it mandatory, you know, unless you're in school on a scholarship or something, then 2 years in the military, that's not going to hurt no one. They spend that standing out on the block all day long.
Well, I say that we need to put the mechanism in place to provide our children with options that they can come out and contribute those skills to those businesses that's working, that's
mm-hmm.
providing jobs for the people.
I mean,
provide the things that people consume and need.
Because
right.
you're talking about networking. You know how many different people and things you meet in the military on a daily basis?
True. I have a niece that just came out as an RN. I mean, no, she just came out of college as an RN. And I think her loans came to about $80,000, and I think she owes the services, I think she said, 5 or 6 years.
So it's not that bad.
Listen, I know a program, and me and my group was laughing about it. It's a 2-year program, and it's an automatic job, and she wouldn't owe nothing.
Yeah, they got that here, Barnes Jewish.
You understand what I'm saying? But sometimes, that's what I'm saying, sometimes let's not take every hype.
Yeah, they
sit
in the school
to
be a nurse.
But how many of y'all actually letting that be known, though? If nobody knows about it,
it ain't no
doing
secret, baby. It ain't a secret. But you know what you don't want to hear? Listen, you for me to give you something, you have to accept it, right?
Yeah, that's
true. You know,
true.
The Cuban medical school will provide education for blacks to become medical doctors. 7 years free training.
Cuban
medical
school?
You don't have to worry
about school?
No loan.
You hear
yeah. what Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, you went loud over there.
Oh, yeah, you can go over there. The congressman said it was okay. Back in 2005, I think it was. Yeah, about 100 Americans that's attending the school. We got about 30,000 from all over the world attending the school. Cuba had one of the best medical systems in the world.
Yes, you know what? And like, I got a girl from here from, I can't remember which island. But anyway, she was so hard for her to get here. She had to pay. Meanwhile, the ones coming from India and Asia, they're over here on a,
what's that
on an
bell?
Easy
time
ticket.
To eat?
You know, yeah, it's Chinese. Time to get on out of here.
Let me go wash my hands. All right, I'll see y'all later.
All righty. Thank you, P.
Yankee.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice meeting you, too, young lady.
Nice meeting you, P. Yankee.
Okay.
Y'all talk to each other all the time. But anyway.
In the chat room.
Yeah. All right. Woo, another great show. Well, I guess we basically came to the conclusion that it's just an urban legend. That's what their lead is, an urban legend. Or as Pianki said, a ghetto legend. I don't know. They got a lot of literature out. So I suggest go and read up on it. You know, find out if the black elite really exists. Or is just something that's normal and we just done gave it a name. Okay. Well, anyway, I want to thank Charlotte, Mr. Pianki, and Lamont that called in from New York today. Once again, a great show, and I would like to thank you for calling in and appreciate your support. Well, y'all, that's about it for me today. Hey, tomorrow we got another show on similar to this one. Hey, we're going to be talking about the Illuminati. We're going to see if we can see if that's for real or not. Hey, because I know I want to know. But until tomorrow, people, y'all have a blessed Tuesday. Then go outside and do something nice. Tell somebody you love them. Huh? Speak to a stranger. Just do something nice. Okay? Or just stand up and start laughing. That always works, right? It works for me anyway. But okay, y'all, I'm about out of here. And once again, thank you for listening. This is Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And I'll see y'all tomorrow here at the same time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Until then, I'm out.